All right. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for our most recent episode of Live with the Heads. Today, I have two special guests joining us. I have Miss Allison Lemaster, who is our Director of Admissions, and Miss Lestronda Melendez, who is our Dean of Teaching and Innovation. And we're excited to have them. This episode today, we're going to focus on all things admissions. So if you're a parent or you know a parent who is interested in sending their student to Lynn Haven, we're going to kind of go through like what are the questions that we receive, you know, when parents come and visit us. Kind of capture them in this podcast format so that you as parents and listeners can share it with prospective families because we're really proud of the work that we do here at Lynn Haven. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves and say hello real quick, also so we can do a little mic test.
Hello, everyone. This is Allison Lemaster. I've been working at Lynn Haven since last summer. I've been working in the admissions world for, a while, almost 10 years. I really enjoy it here.
And hello everyone, I'm Lashonda Melendez, and I am first of all not sitting close enough. And now that I am, this is my second year at Lynn Haven and my 20th year, I think, in education. And I also love it at Lynn Haven.
Well, great. I'm glad you would like it because you're stuck with me. So when we get families, the biggest questions I think we get are about who we are and what we do, because we are completely different than any other high school in the Richmond area, right? By size, by culture, by our academics, kind of everything that we do, by our grading is different than what they're used to. And so I'm always curious, what is your little pitch, right? So in 10 words or less, how can you kind of, if you can, encapsulate, what is Lynn Haven?
All right. So, I get that question a lot. What makes Lynn Haven different? And when I talk to families, really, I just let them know that Lynn Haven is a special place for their student to really pursue their passions. There's no ceiling here. The classes really are open-ended for them to really dive in, learn how to learn, and enjoy it, in the entire process.
Fantastic.
Wow, I like that.
Yeah, what about you?
So I was at a few conferences this spring, early spring, late winter, and I think one of the challenges Lynn Haven has always had is how do you put all that we do into 10 words, into that 30-second elevator speech? And so I think we, in the elevator speech world, where the progressive model, the progressive philosophy, using project-based learning, running through an agile framework, and the learning happens through the activity, through the project. And we're also taking students' social emotional learning into consideration. So it's not just about the academics. The academics are extremely important, but it's not just about academics, it's the whole child. And the students are driving what they're learning.
I think it might be one of your profile pictures, Ms. Lemaster, that you have. You have Lynn Haven School, a project-based curriculum for the agile learner, and I love that. It's hard to, I mean, it's one aspect of what we are, right? Because I think we have our culture and everything else that is very unique because of our size, that we can really build those relationships with students in a different way than a school that has larger, student body populations. We just get to know our families and our students really well and can care for them and help them grow as humans, as individuals, and as learners in a more complete, comprehensive way. I think it's not just the classroom experience then at that point. It's the whole learner experience, which I love. So talk to me a little bit, you know, about the size of the school. You know, what, why is that so unique in Richmond, and what makes that special?
So I'm new to the Richmond area myself, having moved from Newport News and having worked in other private schools before, kind of what I guess you would consider your mid-size of 260 to 300 students. Lynn Haven is quite small, and that's done on purpose. We have around 60 students or so right now, and that allows for, you know, really collaborative and close learning with each other and with the teacher. It's very student-driven in the classroom, and having that small size really affects their learning in a positive way. So that's kind of the size of our school and what makes us a little different from the other schools. There are some small schools as well in Richmond, and the school system out here is just so different than anything I've ever seen. So you've got your public school options, specialty school options, more private schools, but I believe we're one of the only independent, non-religious independent schools in the area for families to look at as well. So there's lots of options to choose from.
Yeah. What would you say is kind of the sweet spot, or, you know, that as in being a small school? I mean, you've been around education for a couple decades now.
So one of the biggest advantages is something that you touched on earlier, and it's that ability to have those relationships with students. We're big enough so that you can do activities in your houses. We have the house system, but we're small enough that we all know each other and we know the families. And so there's that comfort in knowing and in being seen daily.
I think when I talk with parents, I often prep them because students can be labeled as a really good student or a really, you know, awesome academic student because they are compliant, right? And quiet, and don't, you know, stand out in any way in the classroom in a negative way, right? And in a small school where you are seen, as you say, right? Sometimes we're able to see things that maybe have always been there, but have never been noticed. And that can lead to a richer academic growth, right? But also, you know, some bumps. And I think we embrace failure here and making sure that students know that it's okay to struggle. It's okay to stumble a little bit, but it's what you do with that, right? It's the learning that you get from that. And so having a small school environment where your teachers are there, they're with you, they see you, they hear you, they may notice things that no other teacher has ever noticed, because in a classroom with 28 other kids, it's hard to see, right? But by the end of that journey, they are now a more complete, whole academic scholar, right? So I think that's a big piece. So what would you say, you know, when parents are talking to other parents, as they do, you know, when they're looking for a high school for their student, that's a big question, right? You have students who elect to go to middle schools, and that's their main focus, right? You have Orchard House of the World or the Seven Hills of the World, where they know middle school. But then you have schools like ours that, okay, we know high school, right? And so when they're sitting there selecting, where do I want my student to go for high school? We've gone through our K-8 school, or we've gone to our specialty middle school, but now what? What do I do? What do you think our parents or our community members are really out there, you know, saying about us and helping our other parents kind of see Lynn Haven?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what's interesting about that is it's kind of like the college admissions process, you know. You know, I work with our seniors when they're trying to figure out their plan for after they leave here, and it's not about what school it is. It's about what that school has to offer for that student. And so the same thing can be said for when your student's ready to go to high school. Richmond has a lot of options, but if your student did well in a small middle school, what makes you think they will do great in a huge, large high school mm-hmm. environment just because you think that's logically what the next step should be for high school? You know, I went to a pretty decent sized public high school myself with a lot of students, a large graduating class. And looking back, I'm like, you know, I really only had a handful of people I spoke to on a regular basis anyway. So was the size really that huge of a factor? Sure, we may not have a football team here at Lynn Haven, but we do offer athletics for our students. So when parents are speaking to other parents in the community, I think what they're telling each other is that we have that nurturing environment for the student that needs that that nurturing. Not that we handhold the entire time, but you know, we see your student. Your student will have opportunities here, probably more opportunities than they would get at a larger school, where, like you mentioned earlier, they're kind of like in the shadows or in the back of the class, not really being seen and given opportunities. So we do have students that may choose to go to a larger high school and then end up transferring over here to Lynn Haven because they realize that this is where their student belonged to begin with.
I think part of that too is, you know, for the student who is looking to make an impact and have opportunities, Lynn Haven is a great place because you have a voice here that you really get to see come to fruition. And if you're a student who loves being involved, I mean, Lynn Haven's a great place. You can be in two varsity sports and three clubs and, you know, represent our school at national conferences and things like that and be selected for those things because the pool, you know, is smaller. And so if you're a student who really stands out and wants to be involved in that way, Lynn Haven's a great place to kind of develop those skills.
And yesterday we sent our annual survey to the students, and so this, you know, I know we're talking about what parents are looking for, but one of the themes that kept popping up was that students felt like they were able to participate in class, like be part of discussions in a way that they had not been able to in the past, and they felt like this was a place that they could grow in a way that they hadn't been able to in the past, and that they were learning but didn't have the pressure cooker on. And so I noticed that in several students' responses about, you know, where they're learning or their growth or things like that. And I think that's huge because from the student's perspective, and that's really what it's all about, mm-hmm. if they are feeling like I am learning and I'm growing into me, that is really what we want mm-hmm. for students.
And seeing that is a pleasure in a small school because you, especially when with students who are here for all 4 years, the difference, you know, of seeing them walk in that first day, you know, in year one, and then the last day of year four is sometimes a night and day, you know, growth. And it's such a joy as an educator. And as a school leader, you know, sometimes you don't always get to see the benefit of what you're doing, right? Because we play the long game in education. And we know that what we're doing is laying a foundation for them in their future, for our students in their future. But it's nice in the small school to be able to see those moments. It's definitely rewarding. So thinking about our students and our extracurriculars, because we've talked about that, right? So what are some opportunities that our students have here and, you know, that's maybe different or unique?
Yeah, so what's really great about being a smaller school is that, as we've mentioned many times already, that the student's voice matters here and what they're interested in matters, and they have a say in what activities that they're interested in. So this year, for example, we have track and field and cross country as our varsity sports. We have an art club that meets weekly. We also have maker space or maker studio as some of our club options for after school. But if students are interested in doing a yoga club, that's not something that they're not able to do. As long as we have support from, you know, faculty or a parent or a community member that wants to come and give their time to the students, we can certainly grow those options. And as with any school, clubs and activities vary year by year depending on student interest.
Mm-hmm. And so we also have some of the academic clubs like Student Senate, National Honor Society, Model UN. And so, and like Ms. LeMaster said, the opportunity to grow those. You know, we had a student come to me and say, I'd like to do debate. So Ms. Hitchcock and I looked into, okay, how do we get debate going? And so that student-led, what are the students interested in?
Mm-hmm. And then we have our Friday electives too, right, which are non-academic. Fridays at Lynn Haven are learning days and opportunities for excellent learning, right? Mm-hmm. But they're non-academic in that traditional way. So what are some things that students have been able to kind of develop and advocate for to happen on Fridays?
Yeah, so Fridays at Lynn Haven are something that I have not seen anywhere else. And speaking with teachers here, we always say, man, I wish this was something I could have done when I was in school. The variety of activities these students get to try out and learn without pressure to achieve a grade. It's just really fun to see them enjoy being in school on a Friday, first of all. So some of the activities that they've done this year, you know, kayaking, fishing, cycling out on the Capitol Trail, like those things that you just, we're in a really cool spot here in the Richmond area to be able to go out into the community and use those resources. Dungeons and Dragons, like board games, learning how to communicate together and work together towards a common goal. Sewing has been one.
Cooking.
Yeah,
cooking boot camp, right?
Yeah.
Mr. Israel's cooking boot camp.
Yeah. And Dungeons and Dragons and School of Rock, those were student-led. So students were in charge of the whole thing. The students were the DMs. They organized everything. The School of Rock, they chose which music they were going to practice and organized it. And it sounded good most days.
I always love it when I get to go down on Friday and see, you know, there's always one or two kids like teaching each other this new chord riff, you know, on their guitars or whatever that is. And I think it's a great opportunity to just share passions. Even, you know, we have our Bluebird houses here that we put up this year, and the group that volunteered to put them up was amazing. It was so diverse in terms of students that I wouldn't have handpicked,
right?
But they volunteered because they were interested in trying something new.
Yeah, and what I notice also is since it is so student-led and student-driven, that a lot of that learning happens with each other, which in some other schools, a student may not like the fact that a peer is telling them what to do or how to do it, but here, it's welcomed with open arms. We just got back from Camp Lynn Haven, and I witnessed a student who was really good with the beach volleyball, helping another student with how to place their arm to get the ball over the net, and the student just taking that information and using it and then improving their skills in real time. So it was really cool that that's something that just happens here naturally.
Yeah, I think students aren't bristled, right? They don't feel like they're being talked down to by their peers because we work so hard on those communication skills that they genuinely understand that, you know, we're all out here just learning with each other and learning from each other sometimes. Yep. And that no person is an expert at everything, and everyone is an expert at something.
That's true.
Well, thinking of our students and our student body, you know, we really value diversity here at Lynn Haven. We aim to be a mirror of Richmond and the city in which we operate, and in our faculty and our staff and our students, all of it. So what are some of the things that you notice, you know, about how we, and I don't love using the, you know, coin term of DEI, because I feel like that's thrown around sometimes arbitrarily. And for us, it's definitely ingrained into who we are. So, you know, what is it that you have noticed being here that brings that diversity, that brings benefit to our community?
Yeah, so from my perspective, you know, it's important that a student be able to see a reflection of themselves in their schooling environment. It's just, it is. It's something that's really important. And we have that here at Lynn Haven. We do have a diverse faculty and staff. And our student body is, for being small, we do have a good mix of students here, male, female, all types of races, genders. So, yeah, I think that we do a really good job of being inclusive and respecting each other here at Lynn Haven.
Mm-hmm. There was a conference that I did recently, and they were talking about the term diversity and how that, you know, it's been kind of batted around and has some different meanings. And if we just look at the definition, right, it's varied. And that's what we are. And everyone here is respected for who they are. So that idea, that motto that the kids coined, be you, really lives here. And so in our prescribed curriculum, in our written curriculum, we follow what James Banks talks about in his approaches to multiculturalism. And that's not just race, but it's, you know, all aspects of a person's identity. And we look at that transformation approach, so that we are looking at situations, events, ideas through multiple lenses. And so we bring in that idea of the window, mirror, and sliding glass door, like Ms. LeMaster was saying. You want that mirror. You want to be able to see yourself reflected in the curriculum and in the people around you. You also want to be able to see other people's experience, like to have that opportunity to understand other people, to build that empathy and that sliding glass door, to be able to step into, in a safe way, someone else's experience. So walk a mile in somebody else's shoes in a safe way. And so that's in our prescribed curriculum in what we write, but it's also in our hidden curriculum, in the ways that we interact with each other, in the things that we choose to engage in the activities we participate in. You know, we went out to Sankofa Garden, and it is a climate justice and, you know, justice farm, and the kids were just so inspired with what they did. And so it's that learning along with the empathy in the world. And so I think that is really where we respect and appreciate and value the variety.
Mm-hmm. And I think for me, that is one of my favorite things about being here. And it's what brings me confidence in knowing that our students are going to be the ones going out into the world and making a difference, in not just in the champion, big, bombastic way, mm-hmm. right, that we talk about change makers, but in the everyday interactions of at the grocery store, helping somebody with their cart, you know, just being a good citizen, right. And a kind citizen and an understanding and empathetic citizen, and also a citizen who's capable of critical thinking and maybe doesn't use one source and say, oh, this is the whole story, right? That they can recognize, because they've been exposed to so many points of view, that they've gotten a chance to go through those sliding glass doors and you know, have some experiences in that way, that they can see and seek the whole story and the whole truth of what their world experience is going to be.
Absolutely.
So thinking of, you know, next steps, right? Thinking of a school experience. All of this sounds amazing, right? And I think so, partly because I'm, you know, the head of school, but I'm also a parent, right? Mm-hmm. Who supports the school by sending my student here. I've had a wonderful experience here. But I always have those questions in the back of my mind, as does every parent that I talk to. What about the future? This is a high school, and the end goal for my student is college, right? That's what they've decided. It's not the end goal for all students. So, you know, some who want to go into the military or arms, you know, armed forces, some who want to go to community college, some who want to go into internships in the world of work, right? And kind of begin there. But for my student, the end goal is college. I'm lucky in that I don't have to do a lot of coaching and prompting. They take that journey on their own. So how does all of this difference set my student up for success in a traditional college experience?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I can think of is that, wow, these students really know how to learn. It doesn't matter where they go from here, they're going to know how to find an answer to something, whether that be the good old Google machine or going down to the library and actually pulling a book off of a shelf. They have experience doing both of those things here. And so at Lynn Haven, we really prepare our students for their next step, whatever that is. We help them to figure that out, and we help them advocate for themselves with their parents and guardians, with maybe what they want for themselves is different than what their parents' goal might be for them. And so helping them have those conversations, helping them through the process of, if the student's going to college, you know, we have those meetings with them to make sure they're not missing deadlines and figuring out the best place for them for how they learn, finding those internships, sending them resources so they can find it themselves, because we don't do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
We teach them and guide them with how to figure out those things.
And I would say that another piece of that is that the thing that you mentioned earlier, Ms. LeMaster, when you said that the ceiling is high. So within a course or within independent study, students have an opportunity to explore things that we might not teach, or that there's a piece of it that they would like to explore some more. And with an agile framework, it gives them the tools, like you were saying also, to plan out those long-term things. You know, a semester in college is a long time, and when you're given that syllabus at the beginning of the year and there are things on there that you have to manage, you know, so that you're not sleeping on your Russian book before the night of the exam, not that I would know anything about that, hoping that it somehow seeps in. But you have that ability. We're helping them with those executive functioning skills so that whatever they go into, they have the tools and the skills and the strategies to work and find the answers and learn, and they know how to learn. So,
yeah, I think that's probably, I really like that about Agile, in that it makes learning visible. I think we take for granted sometimes as adults, mm-hmm. our ability to plan, to execute, to reflect, to make changes midstream,
mm-hmm.
and you know, be okay with that, right? I think our students see a lot of end product and not a lot of the work that leads up to it.
Right.
And Agile really allows for that, for the learning, the work to be visible, where that is just as much of the learning process as the content,
mm-hmm.
and learning how to learn. I think those are invaluable tools for anybody as an individual or even as a team, you know, working in groups and learning how to do that, because you and we all know that that's what work looks like in the world, right? Very few people, even when they work remotely, are working by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're working in teams. And so learning how to navigate that. And I would say mastery grading. You know, we don't give traditional grades in the traditional way, but when you're learning for mastery and you're learning, you know, you have time to go back, make changes, reflect, get better at something, then you are ultimately becoming a better scholar. It's really easy to say, you got a C on this, and then you never look at it again.
Right.
I think athletes and musicians, you know, do, that's all they do is practice and refine and get better and try again and practice and refine and get better and try again. And if you stick with it long enough, right, you have an exceptional, you have an exceptional skill. And for us, that exceptional skill is being a learner. So I think from a college standpoint, that you are almost automatically set above your peers, because college isn't about standardized SOL tests. It doesn't look like that. It looks far more like what we do here.
And as far as, you know, standing out from a pool of applicants that are all applying for a spot at a college, our transcript, it looks different. And to some people, that's scary when it's different. But for someone reading 1,000 admissions applications, when they see something different, it does cause them to pause and take a further look at our Lynn Haven student. So they'll read more on that transcript than they might do on another student's transcript because it's different. And so as far as like mastery grading, yes, it's different. It's not easy. For any student, they are learning, it's rigorous, it's hard, but it's so helpful for them in all aspects of their life after they leave.
Mm-hmm. And I think from that college admissions standpoint, like you said, like the standing out among a pool of applicants, our transcript also has a lot more information on it. Mm-hmm. So you're not just going to see, you know, A, B, C, D for these classes, here's your overall GPA, here's your overall attendance, the end, right? You're going to see skills. You're going to see highlights. You're going to see examples of work, right? All of that is being able to kind of be a good snapshot of a student, because that's really what the student has accomplished. A black and white alphanumeric letter and on a piece of paper doesn't sum up a student's high school experience.
Right. And then you don't have to spend your essay explaining why you got a C in that math class. You know, like, I wish, looking back, I just wish so many things for myself.
A college essay. Things that I'm glad I am beyond at this point. So I have a student, I'm really interested in coming to Lynn Haven, right? And how is Lynn Haven going to support my student? You know, that historically I, you know, maybe has done well, you know, they're not a poor student, but they've just not felt engaged in that way. So how do you help a student like that?
So the first thing we do when a student is interested in Lynn Haven is we get to know them. So they come tour the school, maybe come to open house, come for a visit. We interview with them, not a formal interview, but just a couple questions asking them about their experience at their current school. What do they like? What do they not like? And those questions are very telling. So the student will oftentimes say, you know, I really enjoy science, but math, man, I just struggle with math. And so we learn those things early on in their application process. We do offer some supports for our students, which Ms. Melendez can touch on. But we all of our students are diverse learners. And so we do take that into consideration when they're interested in Lynn Haven.
And I would say that I know that the idea of academic teaming or student teaming can be a little intimidating, right? Because we all have those bad experiences of group work where, you know, you've got that one kid who's like, let me know when y'all are ready to turn this in, and you have the one person who's taking over. One of the really impressive things, and one of the reasons that we chose to go with an Agile framework, is that those structures are already built in for different learners. So you're going to have, the teams are designed to deliberately have students with different strengths, students with different interests, students who might have some slight differences in the way that they learn. And so you're going to have that cognitive diversity. So you're a mathy, I'm a language artsy, those aren't real words, but you know what I mean. And so that team is put together. The other piece is that the team does team building exercises so that they get to know each other and get to identify their own strengths and help learn what each other's strengths are. So that the team, in addition to the teacher, so everything doesn't always fall on the teacher, the team also is a source of support. And so, and helping to build that agency and that self-awareness for the student. So if I, as a student, know that I, you know, putting myself out there a little bit, struggle with organization, I'm going to share that with my team, because then I'm going to look to my team and to my teacher, but look to my team for those supports. Like, hey, you know, help me remember what things I need to do. Not that the other students are carrying them, but again, that empathy and that community of learners is what we're really looking for. And I think that's one of the best ways that we support diverse learners in our environment, whether they are, you know, a student who might be like me and lack organization skills, or that student who has been identified as academically gifted. You know, there is a place for each person to grow in who they are.
I think, you know, there's a lot of neuroscience in education research that's happening, you know, over the past decade. And one of the buzzwords right now is that metacognition, mm-hmm. right? Thinking about how I do things. And Agile as a framework, I mean, that happens, it's already built in,
right?
There are exercises built in that these students are doing on a weekly basis, those retrospectives that are really helping students think like, how did I get here, right? Instead of just arriving and then forgetting everything. And so the thinking about how you learn, being comfortable communicating strengths and weaknesses, right? And that self-awareness is so key, because we know as teenagers, those are things that that don't come naturally to them, right? Their brain isn't developed to do those things at that point in time. And sometimes there are adults that don't take the opportunity to do that until later in life. And so, but we've learned that if you start teaching them those skills early on, then it doesn't have to be something that they have to, you know, go back and learn how to do as an adult. It's something that they've embraced early on and that they're comfortable identifying their strengths and weaknesses. They're comfortable communicating about those strengths and weaknesses. They're comfortable building trust in a work environment, right? And that allows for the product, right? Whether that's the product of their learning here, that's in an education environment, the product is their education, right? But in the work environment, the product is whatever their work is, to be the best possible that it can be. And all learners can be supported in that. So can you share some examples, you know, thinking of our students this year who have, in terms of the projects that they've been working on, or, you know, how they're using that framework to kind of go through the world of work in their content?
So a really recent one, and we were unsure how this was going to actually play out. We were looking at the in their ninth grade history class, we were looking at the consequences of World War I. So not just the immediate consequences, but things that, tracing the through line, right? Mm-hmm. So if you look at a situation like Ukraine, Russia invading Ukraine, where are the foundations of that? And so we gave them some opportunities to research. We gave them, you know, help them curate resources because they're ninth graders. And so helping them find those primary and secondary sources. And so they created a podcast. So as they were going through, they selected different events and worked with their teams to decide, okay, what is the thing that we're going to focus most on? So one team just happened to have a group of the three of them love all things Japan, anime, the language, the food, you name it. So theirs focused primarily on how Japan, where Japan is now, and where that kind of the through line to World War One. Now, as a teacher, that would not have been the focus of the curriculum. And if you look at the AP World curriculum, that is not the focus. It's not, how did Japan get here? But the interest that these students had led them down that path. And so they have a deep understanding of something that means something to them. They have a deep understanding of how Japanese is a world power, Japan is a world power now, how the cultural aspects have grown and everything. They also got into, like, you know, some things they didn't know, like Japan and Korea, you know, having some conflicts and everything. And their podcast, you know, they looked at, okay, how do we bring in some of the music and have those things? And one of the kids even introduced himself in Japanese, which is not a language we teach. So again, we had an opportunity by letting the students, we had an overarching question, and we let the students lead their learning. Mm-hmm. And the learning was meaningful to them, and it is something that will stick with them for a very long time, because the skills that they built, it's not so much about knowing the individual details and dates and things like that, but what, how do I learn? How do I analyze and synthesize information? And that's what they did, and it was very successful.
I love that, because what I hear from alumni when they come back, you know, we always tell them, you know, you have an experience unlike most other high school students, and you're going to come to this with knowledge, information, and skills that your peers may not have. And I don't know if they believe us. Actually, I know they don't believe us until they're there, until they're in college. And then a professor, you know, may talk about that. They may have an entire lecture on, you know, how Japan came to world power. And you're right, it's not on the Virginia SOL. And so you have an entire state of students who's not going to know that information.
Right.
But because our students have the ability to think and discover, they've stumbled upon things and dug deep into things that are really things that they're going to see in college and beyond. And I love that. I think that's an amazing opportunity for them. So how, thinking of that content, right? So how do you ensure, so if that's our essential question, right? Your essential question is, how can you trace back events, current events, or things that are happening now back to World War One? What's the, how do you walk that back? How do you ensure when students are driving the bus that the content that we know that they need, right? Because there has to be a foundation of content. How do we know that happens?
So one of the things in project-based learning, it's a common misconception that it is sort of a, you know, run with it. Direct instruction still does happen. The role of direct instruction, even in a traditional classroom, should be limited because it should be where the student is doing most of the work. If the teacher is doing most of the work that is passive, they're still not learning. They may be able to spit back facts and do it well on an assessment, on a multiple choice assessment, or, you know, even an essay. But then once that learning time is done and you move to the next thing, that's not held into their brain. It's not something that's part of their overall real learning. And so in project-based learning, which we use in an agile framework, direct instruction still has a role. So as we helped the students to curate resources, there were things that we were working on, like, okay, and we had discussion points, small activities, there were some simulations. So we had some different activities throughout, but the primary work was the students working on their project. in math, you know, I would be very unlikely to stumble upon the Pythagorean theorem. So there is a role for direct instruction. And so there are formative assessments and summative assessments that address that. But then how is that used? And so then it's not just, can I plug these numbers in or can I spit back, you know, this formula, but where is this used in the real world? And so that's how we know what the content is. The world is too big. There's too much knowledge in the history of humanity to know everything. So knowing how to learn is much more important than memorizing discrete facts about, you know, oh, this is magical realism, the definition of magical realism. Okay, but what does that mean when you're actually reading a text or something? So that's where we have the flexibility that we might not have when you have that standardized test that is going to ask you which general was at the Battle of Bull Run.
Right.
So,
and I think it kind of goes, everybody, you know, you can get to knowledge. And then from knowledge, you hopefully get to understanding and that comprehension piece. But it's how, what do you do with it? How do you apply it? That really highlights the longevity of learning for a student. So thinking of, I want to wrap this up, you know, because we're sitting at towards the end of our time. What are my steps as a parent, right? I'm looking for a school. I've heard all of these great things about Lynn Haven School, and I want to know, you know, how do I get my student there to see it? How do I see it? How do I know if I am ready for a high school experience like that?
So step number one, if you're me, is going on social media, go to our website, get in touch with us, set up your tour if you want to visit the school, see what events we have planned. If you're free this Friday, we're having a Learn Like a Lynx program for the first half of the day. We'd love to see your student out for that. We'll get you in. We'll show you the school. We'll explain to you what Lynn Haven is. You've learned a lot by listening to this podcast, but there's more information out there for you to learn. So that's step number one. Our application process is very simple, which is outlined on our website as well. I'm happy to get on a phone call with any prospective family and talk to them about Lynn Haven further in relation to their specific child's needs, mm-hmm. And how we can support them.
Well, that sums it up for us. I really hope that you take some time to kind of just digest this. If you have any questions about anything you heard, Ms. LeMaster is ready to go, and she's your point of contact. So thank you both for taking the time to meet with us today, share this, and I look forward to next school year. I'm really excited about it.
Thank you.
All right.